Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are gathered together, Lord, because we want to draw nearer to you today. We want to celebrate who you are. We want to celebrate what you've done for us on the cross, your resurrection that gives us life and hope, that as we look beyond the waves and the wind and the frustrations of this life, it's well with our soul because we understand in perspective that this life is not all that it's about. That you're preparing us for a glorious future that makes all the hardship and the struggle of this life fade away in an instant. And so, Lord, in the light of all of that, we come with open hearts to look at your word, to hear from you, because we believe that in you we find joy. We believe that in you we find hope and life abundantly. So speak to us today, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much to the team for serving us this morning. Good morning to each and every one of you. Lovely to see another fullish, pretty full church. And I still believe with all my heart that one day we will be so full that people will sit in the front rows. I believe that they will come, trusting the Lord for that. This front row here is already filling up nicely. And really good to have you all with us. And as I scan the room, I think there's a few visitors with us today. Really good to see you. Some of you here for the second, third, fourth time, thanks for coming back and plugging in and joining us. Kids Church, have some fun today. They are on holiday, but they still get to have some fun downstairs. I'm just watching that none of the adults are walking out. Cool. Before we go any further, I just want to spend a little bit of time, we call this pastoral prayer, just to pray for us as a church body and for those in our church body who are going through all kinds of hardship. And if you don't mind just taking a moment as we quieten our hearts and bring those folks to the Lord. And Vernon, I've got a bit of a boom, so I think it's the sound effects, yeah. You can use it later when I've got my like boom points, then you can bring, no, it's fine, just... Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come just feeling so blessed as a church because of what you're doing in our midst, bringing us together once again, filling up our services once again, the great freedom we have to see each other face to face without masks or any other thing like that, Lord. And we are so grateful for that. We thank you as well, Lord God, that you hear prayer. And as we think of the testimonies of the last few days that we've been listening to, we're reminded that you love your children so well. And that even when you do allow hardship in our lives, you're building us up, conforming us to the likeness of Jesus, that even our pain is filled with meaning and purpose. We still do want to bring, Lord God, those in our church body who are going through particular seasons of hardship, Lord. We think of families who've lost loved ones in the last little while. We think of Gwen and her family, the loss of her father. We think of the Douth family as we said our farewells to Yvonne last week. We think of the Jerry family as well, after Gareth's dad's passing, and many others for whom grief is quite fresh. Lord, we bring to you those who are struggling with illness. We pray for Gavin, we pray for Ruth Mundy, who's not well, we pray for Ruth Krobler, and thank you, Lord God, for a great improvement in her situation. And for others, Lord God, who keep that suffering relatively quiet, Lord God, you know their need. We also pray, Lord God, for families in our church who are in crisis,
financial crisis, relational crisis.
Who are trying to make ends meet, Lord God, and are desperately reliant on you day in and day out. Lord God, may you meet them in power.
May they know that every good thing comes from your hand.
May they draw close to you during this time.
We just want to pray for our the buns in the oven, Lord God. Pray for Jess and for Lauren and for Sade, that you protect and keep them as they get closer to the day of just the gift that you've given them in a new child. And we thank you, Lord God, that these things are gifts to us as a church body as well. And praise you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
And as I look to my left, the fun little section over here, parents with tots, it's filling up nicely, but I think we need to have an extension on that side of the building by the looks of things. As we prepare for many, many more. It's an exciting place to be. So today, church, I want to speak to you about our vision and where we're going as a church in the next little while. There's two questions that I really want to ask and answer, hopefully, today. And it is this: who are we and where are we going? Who are we and where are we going? And I would love to be able to come to you and deliver to you a message like Moses coming down from Mount Sinai and just saying, "Thus saith the Lord, here's the 5-year plan." I am sorry to say the Lord has not given me a 5-year plan in nice, you know, sort of bullet points. Maybe I'm not listening very well. Maybe that's just not how it always works in the church. But what I do know that we can do is we can look at the scriptures and unpack what God has said there about our identity as the people of God and his intention and his purpose for this strange collection of people called the church. I mean, I don't know if you've looked around and recognized it's an odd collection of people. And very often in the body of Christ, we have relationships and we have friendships with people that we would in no other way connect with, except that we have this one thing in common, that is Jesus Christ. And so if you've got your Bibles with you, I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 4. And by the way, why we're doing this now is because we're kind of in a natural pause between the seasons in the big year. And next year, we carry on with our final season in the big year, looking at the New Testament and the coming of Jesus. And it's going to be awesome. We're going to have a fantastic cruise into Christmas. It's not that far away. And all of these things, you know, the timing of this is all lacquer, but it's great to just take a step back and to recalibrate and remind ourselves why we do these things, why we look at the scriptures this way, why do we study, what's the plan, where are we going, what are we hoping that this achieves for us? And so let me read the whole passage that we want to look at today, and then I'm going to break it up into small little pieces and look at it in chunks. Ephesians chapter 4 and from verse 11. And this is what God's word says. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry and for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Also, just wanted to say good morning to those watching online. We've managed to get some hardware
that makes our live services possible again. Don't use that as an excuse to stay at home and watch from bed, Zari. That's not the point of it. But for those who are watching, and we know there's people connecting really from all over the world, good morning to you, or good evening for those in the States, I guess. And great to be able to connect with you in this way. All right. It was he, it says, who gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. It was he who. I want to pick up on Angus's sermon last week. Awesome reminder to us of who Jesus is. That same Jesus in whom all things hold together. That same Jesus who is the firstborn of all creation. That same Jesus who is the head of the church. And let's be absolutely clear about this. Jesus is the head of Durban North Community Church. This is his church, and he does what he wants in this church. And that must never be contradicted. You, as members of this church and visitors here, if we ever, and this is for anybody who sets foot in this pulpit, fail to mention the glory of Christ at any point in our messages, you can call us on it, and we must repent of that. The point of all of this is to remind ourselves, Jesus is Lord of all of this. But here's the fascinating thing, that Jesus, in all of his wisdom, has decided to entrust the governance, the daily governance of the church, to people. If I were Jesus, I probably would have done it myself. But Jesus, in his wisdom, has decided he wants to use fallible, broken people to lead his church. And we're given a couple of titles here. The passage mentions apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. But there are more leadership positions in the church. And I don't want to go into a message today unpacking what all of those things are, because sometimes it's quite contentious when we get to titles and things like that. But there are people who are entrusted, called by God, set aside for leadership in the church. I had a fantastic week this week. I had the privilege of going down to Treverton College in Moy River Monday through Thursday, and at what we call the Baptist Union Assembly. We haven't had one for the last couple of years, so it was great to be with about 200 other pastors and church leaders in our Baptist denomination. Now, those of you who are newer to our church, you might not know this. We're called the Community Church, but up until about 4 years ago, we're known as Durban North Baptist Church, and we still belong to a union of churches called the Baptist Union of South Africa. And it was such an encouraging week for me to meet with all of these leaders and to be there. Many of these guys I've been friends with, studied with, been in ministry with for 20 years. I know it's hard to say, just looking at me, but it's the truth of the matter that the penny's actually dropped. This is my 21st year in ministry. And it's been, there's so many guys, we've gone through hard things together, we've wept together, we've celebrated together, we've been at each other's weddings, we're now sharing kids' stories, our mentors are all there, and at the assembly this year, we celebrated, as they always do, long service awards to some people who've been in ministry for 10 years, 25 years, 40 years, 50 years, and one or two who even have been in ministry for 60 years of pastoral ministry. There are good things happening in our Baptist Union, and it's very, very encouraging. There's nearly 600 churches in the Baptist Union of South Africa. There's about 35 church plants happening currently, 35 new baby churches around the country that God is stirring up and fanning into flame. Really encouraging. I get to rub shoulders with college professors, the guys who taught and lectured me. I get to rub shoulders with missionaries. There's a missionary family that we were there right in the beginning. Bron and I did some ministry with them. You might remember Keith and Christine Moller. Remember them? They've been in Malawi now for 26 years. It's quite incredible. The kids that we knew when they were tiny are now, you know, in university. And they have built a school. They've built churches. And they're now translating the Bible into the language of Northern Malawi. It's the Yao language. And it's absolutely staggering to see how God has stirred them up. We also, as a union, commissioned a new young couple to go to lead a church plant and a Bible college in Mauritius. And I'm thinking, why didn't I think of that? Can I, you know, plant a church in Mauritius? But awesome to see these guys stepping out in faith and good things happening. And within this group of people, there are people who are apostolic in their gifting. In other words, they just have the ability to lead leaders. And they pour into other pastors. We have evangelists. We have shepherds. Guys, you're just so compassionate. And a couple of guys are going into this sort of semi-retirement as pastors. And their heart is to pastor other pastors and just come alongside us younger pastors and say, how are you doing? How's your marriage? How's church? How's your own spiritual health? All these things. And teachers as well. Oh my word, we get to sit under such great teaching at these things. And it is so exciting. It fills me to overflowing. Really, it does. It is awesome to be a part of the greater body of Christ. And I'm telling you this because we don't speak about it often enough, I don't think, in this church. We do belong to a bigger group of people, bigger group of churches and leaders that God has stirred up to lead his church. And church leadership is unique. It's not like leading any other kind of an organization. It's tough. We need to lean on each other. It's challenging. And there is a lot at stake, eternal reward and eternal things. But it is deeply satisfying when we see the results of God working through us. And last week was one of those weeks for me. Just seeing people going through the waters of baptism, seeing people eat and eat and eat and fellowship and not want to go home. I mean, this is great. This is the signs of God stirring us up and us reconnecting as a church. But I want to ask the question, what is our job as a church leadership? And in our church, we only have two offices of leadership. We have elders and we have deacons. What about the pastors? Biblically speaking, we are also elders. And so it's just these two offices. What is our job, though? Well, we're told here, and I'm going to point to four things that are the work, the job of the leadership of Durban North Community Church. And you can hold us to this. And the first thing is this, equipping the saints. Verse 12 there, we're called, Jesus has given the church leadership to the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Who are the saints? Anyone who has put their faith in Jesus Christ and sanctified through him, you are the saints. And maybe you want to call each other for the rest of the day, Saint Dave or Saint Mary or whatever, and just for fun. You are the saints. Who does the work of the ministry? The saints, not the leadership. This is a huge distinction that you need to see, that the work of ministry belongs to the saints, that our job is to equip you, to fan you into flame, to use the gifts and abilities that God has given you. You do the ministry. You don't outsource it to the professionals. It's not how it works in the body of Christ. You do it. And so going forward as a church, one of the things that we're going to be doing more and more of is intentionally trying to equip you to do this work of ministry. And there are many people within this body of saints that already are using their gifts for ministry. And sometimes we take it for granted. By the way, have you had a look around the campus lately? Have you had a look at how the gardens are starting to pop again and sparkle? That is the work of a group of saints who've poured in hours and hours and hours of effort in our gardens, fanning into flame the giftedness that God has for them. If you are very, very sharp, you may have, as you came in, you smelt a certain familiar smell of paint. And if you look up on the ceilings, everything's looking a little bit crisper and sharper, especially in that back corner where we had some flood damage. And that's because gifted people, Angus and his team, have been using their giftedness to minister in the church and to make sure that everything's looking good. There's people like Nathan, who has painstakingly carved out the names of every one of the books of the Old Testament Okay, that took a while. There's 39 of them. Some of them with long names like Lamentations. That took a while. And thank you, Nathan, for sharing your giftedness. Now, if you can do the other 27 in the New Testament, it'd be great. And I know you're already hard at work with them. Most of the names are a bit shorter, so. But this is the idea. And the goal is this. The goal is that every single Christian in our church has their thing. Has their thing that they get excited about and they bring to the table and they share with the church. And we want to equip you to do that. And so next year, one of the things we're going to be doing is a lot of training and a lot of courses and opportunities to sharpen that. Teaching on spiritual gifts, teaching on how we share that with the body, and teaching how you put those things into practice. We want to create space for you to do that. One of the places we do that is on a Sunday morning. And we're going to ask a lot of those who serve on a Sunday morning, a lot more than we've been asking before. We want you to get in nice and early. We want you to pray. We want you to commit your giftedness to the Lord and ask God to use you in power on a Sunday morning by getting here at 6 in the morning. Okay, 7:30, that's my final offer. But so that we pray together as a team, everybody, every part involved. I want us to be looking outward into the community next year as well. And so we want to create short-term mission opportunities, maybe a cross-border missions trip, but certainly lots of little ones throughout the year where you go out into the out of your comfort zone and into the mission field. An opportunity to learn in the deep end is one of the greatest ways. And one of the things that's going to be a highlight, and I think an absolutely crucial thing, parents of school-age kids, we're going to be emphasizing a parenting course that's going to be happening first quarter next year because the most important ministry that you have as a parent now is to your own children. We know that our kids are in a major crisis at the moment. We know that the mental health of our kids is not great, and we know that they're up against it spiritually speaking. We want to equip parents. How do you, mom and dad, minister to your kids? How do you lead them through a Bible study? You know, I think Janine has worked incredibly hard making available Bible studies every week of the term. I don't know how many people are using those. And my concern, my wonder is maybe it feels like too much of an effort, or you don't feel equipped to lead your kids in a Bible study. This is absolutely crucial. We cannot expect the primary school teachers and the high school teachers to be raising our kids spiritually anymore. We grew up with that privilege, many of us, learning our Bible lessons at school. It's not a given anymore. We need to, as moms and dads, take that responsibility. And that's going to be a huge part of equipping next year. Equipping us saints, you saints, for the work of ministry. So welcome to full-time ministry. You're all in it. Whether you sign up or not, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the work of ministry belongs to the saints. The second thing the Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 4, we are called to build the church for building up the body of Christ. And this building up is both about numbers. I believe that we should be, if we're a healthy body, we're growing and we're bringing unbelievers to Christ. I think I've shared my heart before as well, that my heart is not to go and take mature believers from other churches and to grow our church that way. I'd love to see us growing in terms of unbelievers, unchurched families and friends coming in here, coming to meet Christ for the first time and growing up into the body. That's what we're called to do. And the many parts of the body, that's you and I with all of our different roles and functions. When we're working well together, the church grows in strength. And so we're going to be putting major emphasis on the way that we welcome newcomers into our church. I know, and I've seen it happen several times. And if you are one of these people, I want to apologize, but there are sometimes people who come in and leave totally ignored and found it very difficult to connect to this body. It is a hard thing to do. If you've ever come into a church cold where you don't know anybody, it's hard. We need to do better than that. We need to grow in the way that we welcome and connect and catch those who are really seeking the Lord. We're going to be hearing a lot more about the missionaries that we support, corresponding and celebrating the work that they're doing on the mission field. We're going to also hopefully get some prayer and care teams together. people who after the services are willing and ready to pray for others who are going through hard things, making that a regular part of what we do as a church. And then also through the week are willing to go and do the work of ministry and going to visit. And I know that there is an expectation in most churches that when you're sick or when you're battling, that it must be a pastor who comes to see you. But according to this, the work of the ministry belongs to the saints. And there are people that are far better than me, for example, at visiting and being compassionate and spending time. And we want a team like that as well to go out and to visit those who are ill or those who are disconnected from the body various ways. What I'd really love, what I think is going to build up our church as well, is if there is anybody who's willing to take a ministry of birthdays. Lillian Duncan for I don't know how many decades. Anyone here, you've gotten a birthday card from Lillian Duncan before in your life? Absolutely. Amen. You've gotten many, I'm sure. Lillian has just said, well, in a word, she just said, oh, she's tired and she's poured herself into that and will certainly help whoever wants to step into those shoes. But if that's something that you think, I would love to do that, I'd love to be contacting people on their birthdays and just making them feel special on behalf of the whole body of Christ, please come and let me know or chat to Roxanne. We'd love to empower you to do that. We also would love somebody to take over the ministry of something like a monthly newsletter. If you fancy yourself to be a journalist of some sort, you've always thought, I wonder what that's like. God's stirring this up in you. Come and speak to one of us as a staff, one of our staff members. The idea being that once a month, there's a little printed thing that goes around with some testimonies, just a couple of events and things, special things happening in the life of the church that keeps us all connected. We cannot manage that on the load that we have at the moment as staff members. And there is somebody in the church who could put that together and do it with excellence. So this is the kind of things we're looking for. And by the way, what we're also doing, because we believe that the church is not just about what happens in these four walls, we're also partnering with other ministries around our community here. Guys who already are doing a really good job. Other churches and ministries who, very good counseling centers and social justice departments. But one of the ones that we're quite excited about, and I need to warn you about this, so that you don't get a fright one day when you arrive on a Wednesday evening and you find 100 people here that you don't know. So one of the things we've partnered, one of the groups we've partnered with is Exodus Ministry across the road. That is Anthem's substance abuse recovery ministry. You may know something about what's happening at Anthem, that they have plans to relocate their entire congregation to Cornubia. We contacted them a couple months ago and said to them, what are you guys going to do about this addicts ministry? Because for these guys to just up and go to Cornubia is probably not a possibility. And they said, well, we've been praying about it. We don't know what to do. We said, well, why don't you use our hall? And so our hall is now open to Exodus Recovery Ministry. Okay. And so I'm just warning you, if you pop in for a friendly visit on a Wednesday night, it's a different vibe that's happening here. But we believe, and what we appreciate about that ministry is they keep pointing them to Jesus. That is not an AA or an NA kind of ministry where they talk about your nameless higher power. They talk about faith in Jesus. They talk about hope and healing only in Jesus. And so we're happy to have that ministry happening right here. And you're going to see more and more of that going forward. So this is all part of building the church. Attaining unity, that's our third point there. We're called, Jesus gives the leadership of the church until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, this has already been identified by many correctly in our church over the last little while as something that's been missing. We feel like we've been disconnected. We feel like we've been missing one another. We feel like we're not all on the same page. And so again, last week was such a celebration of coming together around a meal and celebrating. But this is something we need to continuously be growing towards one another in unity. Unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. And so one of the ways that we do this is we study and we learn together. It's why wherever possible, love it when all the life groups and the youth ministry and kids' church, we're all studying the same stuff, and families, hopefully, during the week too. We're studying the same things. We're on the same page, literally. We're reading the same things through the week as well. And it brings us into unity in knowledge and in faith. We also want to, going forward, be creating a lot of space, literally, for fellowship and for connectedness. And so one of the projects we're looking at is, how do we use that foyer behind you? How do we use that space? If you lean too heavily against one of those wooden frames at the back, please don't. We're worried it's going to fall to pieces because it's being eaten by wood borer. And so we know that those need to be replaced, but we're looking at taking advantage of that and extending the back area a little bit so that we've got space for fellowship after church. That, you know, for you, Sunday morning church wouldn't be, I come in at 8:30 and I leave at 9:45. It would be, I come in at 8:25, please. Let's work in that. But then also, I hang around until I've connected with whoever I need to connect with. I take a cup of coffee afterwards. I go sit out there. I go sit out on that nice lawn that's growing up nicely, and I spend time with my family. Connect, pray for people, pray, have people pray for me, be encouraged till I'm overflowing, and then I go home and have a nap or whatever it is. That's the idea, that we're united in this. And then through the week as well, Coffee Corner, we're excited about what's happening there, that it's increasingly being used as a place for fellowship and for ministry. At this point, we have a seniors ministry that's running regularly, pensioners day. We have youth ministry that's happening down there. We have a pastor's fraternal that happens down there. We now also have a cancer support group that's meeting down at Coffee Corner. Please make use of that. We know that's the most beautiful and peaceful space that we have. But here, my fourth point, and I think probably the most important, that we are reaching maturity in Christ. The point is that we are supposed to attain to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness in Christ. The idea being that everybody in the church can stand on their own two feet. Again, while we're stirring you to read the scriptures for yourself, don't take for granted what's said in the pulpit. Grow all 7 days of the week so that you can stand firm, be strong in your faith in Jesus. People must understand their identity in Jesus. The saints, you must understand who you are in Jesus, that your future hope is in Him, and that presently you are empowered by His Holy Spirit. You need to know that. It's our job to remind you of that week in and week out. And so discipleship is basically that in a nutshell. Becoming disciples of Jesus, pushing each other to take steps towards Him constantly. And so we have life groups that are meeting through the week. Now, and some of you might say, hey, we've tried to join life groups in the last couple of months and it hasn't really happened. Yeah, here's another huge need that we have. Our life groups need to multiply. The life group people don't want to hear this because they think it's like a divorce. It's not. And so we never use the word split. We're talking about multiplication. But we have some life groups that are busting at the seams. They're big and everybody loves each other and it's wonderful. But life groups, we need to create space for others. And so if you're in a life group, you know, there's some latent leaders in those life groups that you could definitely be hosting, facilitating those kinds of things. And some of you who have beautiful homes that could be hosting those things. One of the things that happened during COVID, which was, it was a beautiful thing at the time, but we were all able to meet at the church, or we certainly used that loophole in the law, if it was right or wrongly. We said, if you want to join for Bible study and fellowship, come to the church. And we did that, and the life groups began to really grow nicely, church-based. I want to suggest that we take those back home now. There's something very special about meeting in homes. And so if you're involved in a life group or you're not involved in a life group, just that's the plan, that we have many, many more life groups meeting in people's homes where folks are growing spiritually, growing in relationship, and belong to a smaller branch of the bigger tree where it's very hard to bunk. That's one of the things. I mean that. It's very hard to just slip away unnoticed. You belong there, and people miss you when you're not there, and people depend on you. And it's the perfect place to grow in your giftedness and in your understanding and in community. Again, I mentioned some of those courses that we're going to do, parenting courses. We're going to look at a marriage course, alpha course, a few other things. And one of the other ideas for next year is that we start using our Sunday evenings again, at least a once a month sort of a topical evening. So it may be sort of a lecture kind of a format that you come in for a hot topic. Maybe, you know, how do we as church respond to the LGBTQI community? That would be a really, really good one. Various hot topics that we touch on a Sunday evening, that we're growing in maturity and we're prepared and equipped to answer some of those questions. So that's... Is that enough? Is that enough for now? But here's, let me wrap up with this. So that we're told this is the plan, this is the job of leadership, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes, so that we may no longer be children. Folks, we know that there are winds and waves. This is what it all boils down to, is there is an enemy of the people of God who wants to undo every good thing that God is doing. And so he stirs up human cunning, but it really, that's the puppet, and he being the puppet master, Satan, who uses these things to sow division in the church instead of unity. He loves it when we're divided. He loves it when we're at each other's throats and there's factions within the body. He loves that, and he will try to do that in our church. He loves to keep the saints idle instead of working. You might have heard the phrase pew warmers. We took the pews out so that you can't be pew warmers anymore. But if he can keep the saints from doing anything at all, he will. He'll keep us childish instead of us growing into maturity. And he'll try to break the church down so that the church is not built up. The enemy, that is what he is doing constantly at work. And so our job as church leaders is to prepare you for the waves and the wind that will come your way. And I'm not going to go into some of the waves and the wind that have come our way in the last little while. But it is not going to be easy for us as the saints to stand on our own two feet. Let's be prepared for battle. One book I've been reading recently talks about us having a wartime mindset when it comes to being the body of Christ. This is not peacetime. This is wartime. We need to be vigilant. We need to be aware. We need to be equipped, prepared, and building one another up in love. Those last few verses, I'll read them again, verse 15 and verse 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. There's a lot more that I can say. But as we revise our calling and where we're going, we're going to wrap it up this morning by sharing in this ancient meal that Christians all over the world participate in, where we eat and we drink together and celebrate our unity in the body of Christ. We're reminded as well that when we share with Jesus in his death like this, we also share with him in his resurrection. But as I think we have emphasized regularly, that when we come and we eat and we drink this meal together as a body of believers, it's not only the sort of the vertical, where we're looking up at Jesus and we're remembering Jesus, we also do it with the horizontal in mind, where we look around and we recognize my brothers and sisters in Christ. And for whatever reason, God in his sovereignty and his wisdom has placed you with this odd collection of people right here in McCurtain Avenue in Durban North. And you have a responsibility to your brothers and sisters in Christ as much as you have a responsibility to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to live out that calling, to be his people, to be his saints in this generation. So let's pray together as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that it does help us to recalibrate, to bring us back into line, make sure that we're heading in the right direction, and keeping the main thing, the main thing. The main thing is you, Jesus. It's all about you. I pray that you help us to remember that. Lord, that you also would fan into flame all the creativity and energy and vision and passion that you have instilled in your saints, and courage as well, that we might take those steps towards living out a calling, being your ministers, being your body in a world that needs to know about Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's close off with a benediction. So now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole body be kept blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who called us is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.